morning, I would like to talk to you about the law of echoes. But before we get started, let's make an echo of our own with these walls in here. Shout out with me loud this morning, church. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. One more time. Let everything that has breath. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to worship in the Lord. Father, thank you for letting us show up today just scuffed, stretched, and maybe a little tired from VBS and just probably hot because of the week. And, you know, maybe we've said some things this week that some things that we meant to say, some things that we didn't mean to say. But remind us, Father, that our words echo. Our words stick around and they matter. Help us, Father, to clean out what's cluttering our hearts, whether it be grudges or sharp words, all of that stuff that builds up dust. And help us to speak grace first, as your word instructs us, even when it's hard, even when we're worn thin. So, Father, let today be a reset. Let the echo we leave behind sound like kindness, like truth told gently, and like a love that just never quits. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. You know, you've probably seen those bracelets around, "What would Jesus do?" Good question to ask. Good question to keep in our conscience, sure. But today I want to ask a little bit of a different one. What would Jesus undo? What breaks the heart of Jesus? What makes him turn the tables and call out the fakes? What if it's a thing called hollow worship? Empty praise. A spiritual echo with just not any substance in it. The songs we sing, the sermons we preach, the serving we do, what if it's some of it was just noise? Wrapped in a religious packaging, and when it's opened up, there's nothing inside. You ever get one of those kind of gifts where it looks all fancy on the outside, but inside it's something like socks? It's like, thanks. You know, a pastor told the story of how him and his family worked hard to pay off their debts. And they wanted to buy a new refrigerator. They had a large family, probably 5 or 6 kids in it. And they worked hard to pay it off and to treat his family, but he wanted to take him to Disneyland. So what he did is after they bought the refrigerator, they kept the big box that it came in. And since it was close to Christmas time, he decided to wrap it up and put a big bow on it and put it right next to the Christmas tree. Of course, all those kids, like any of us when we were young, we just go nuts thinking, seeing that huge, giant box, wondering what could be inside. And so finally the day came, Christmas was here. The kids were the first ones to run downstairs and wait for Mom and Dad. And they opened up the box, and it was hollow, and there was a little note inside. And the note said, "Hey, we're going to Disneyland." But the kids, they just were confused. They didn't understand what that meant, really. It's like, okay, but where's the toy? Where's this big thing that's supposed to go inside this box? Did y'all hide it out in the garage? Where's it at? And it kind of failed. It kind of flopped on the dad that he tried to do that big box with the build up the excitement. And sometimes, you know, we do the same thing. It ends up being some socks. And that's what some of us hand to God a lot of times. We hand him the shiny wrapping, but there's just flat worship. There's no worship in there. We dress up in our pretty little suits and dresses, but there's no worship. And I think that's what Jesus would undo. Worship that sounds holy, but rings hollow. And that's what he called. He called it vain worship to these Pharisees. He called it lip service without any substance. And to see it played out, flip over, you're probably already there, Matthew chapter 15. Verses 1 through 20. It's a conversation between Jesus and a few Pharisees who had mastered the art of looking clean, but not just not being clean. And he starts out saying, "Then some of the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered to them, and he said, Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, "Honor your father and mother." And he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. Evidently, these Pharisees didn't treat the parents very good. But you say, whoever shall say to his father and mother, "Anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God," he is not to honor his mother or father, and thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, "The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." Well, see, God gave me a ticket right there to enjoy the buffets. Not what enters into man defiles the man. Okay, verse 12. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter answered and said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still lacking understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Why don't your disciples wash their hands before eating?" they asked. And just to be clear, they're not talking about Purell or Lava hand soap by washing up. This was all about the, as we read, ceremonial washing, religious performance. Not scrubbing for germs to get them off your hands, but for show. You see, the Pharisees had turned cleanliness into a spiritual scorecard. Everything was labeled clean or unclean. Food, people, furniture, animals, even skin conditions. If something was unclean, it could make you unclean. And uncleanliness was catchy. It was kind of like the cooties in the fifth grade. Remember those? You touch someone, they say, "You got cooties now." So if a fly buzzed around and a fly touched your plate and then you touched the plate, guess what? You're not just annoyed by the fly. Now you're spiritually contaminated. And to fix this, the Pharisees had came up with a tiny ritual. They would use what's called a quarter log of water, which measured out, it's basically an eggshell and a half full of water. And they poured it over their hands just right, so it ran off. And when the water ran off, it didn't run down their arms, or they would still be unclean. It had to run out onto the ground. And so they didn't want to spread the uncleanliness to any part of them. And what they would do, they would even do this during the courses of their meal. They would wash their hands with that eggshell and a half full of water before the salad, before they ate that. And then they would do it again before your main course, your entree, came out. And then they would do it again before you ate the dessert. So it was less about purity or cleanliness and was more about performance. Jesus knew that. And he calls them out on it. And he says, "You know, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts, they're far from me. Your lips echo the holiness, but your heart is whispering something else to me." And Jesus doesn't need more noise. He needs honest worship. He doesn't need more songs that echo off the walls. He wants praise that echoes from our heart. Now, let's talk for a minute about what most people think worship is. Well, they think it's the music. I like this kind of music. I don't like that kind of music. By the way, you guys did a fantastic job today leading praise. Amen. Kisha was laid over for another day in Florida, so she couldn't make it back, but David stepped up. And of course, you have Susie and Christian and Spencer and Tim at the helm, ready to keep the praise going. Nothing can stop the praise of God. And so we think a lot of times it's about music. And I told Spencer yesterday, I said, just sing whatever y'all want. Here's some songs that might be good, but y'all do what you want. I mean, you're the ministers up here. Well, don't let me tell you how to minister in your pulpit. And I think they did really well. But a lot of people do that. They like this kind of music. I don't like this kind of music. Some churches even offer two kinds of worship on Sundays. One service you can come to and they'll just sing hymns out of the hymn book. And it'll be a more traditional service. And then they'll have a one in the later afternoon that's more for contemporary music that sing a lot of the Christian songs perhaps that you hear on the radio or in the gospel music channel. So they'll offer a separate service just for that to cater to people's like. Some people prefer the reverent and still kind of worship. They feel that they want to honor God. Others, they want the loud, the passionate and rowdy music. Some want hymns, some like the Hillsong. Some want choirs, and some want guitars. And some want suit and tie, and others, they just want the ripped jeans and sneakers and the song that we sang today, Come As You Are. They just want to just show up and do worship that way. I grew up in a traditional Southern Baptist church. We had the wooden pews and the organ and, of course, the piano and the music with it, and we used hymnals. And we always sang verses 1, 2, and 4. Never knew what happened to verse 3, but that's just the way it was. For those of you younger people that don't know what a hymnal is, look it up on Google or Wikipedia, and you'll see what it is. Well, we used to sing out of those books, and a lot of churches still have spots where their hymnals fit behind the chairs. And I like the hymnals. I grew up with them, so I thought they had a lot of meaning to them. And they taught you a lot about the gospel, the word. And that's how I grew up. That's how many of you grew up. Then one evening, Jim Murray, Jan Murray, myself, Kisha, and some others, we walked into a church on the south side, South Oklahoma City, called Western Hills Baptist Church. We heard kind of they're doing worship a little differently. Let me tell you, was it different? It was like you walked into a different planet. They had the flags. They had the drums. They had tambourines. And there wasn't any choir robe in sight. Folks weren't just standing. They were moving. They were raising their hands. They were singing like they meant it. They had people up front waving banners and so forth. And first, I thought it was strange. But then I started to realize, hey, this is real worship. And so here's the thing. God isn't watching the style. He's watching the source. The source of what you're worshiping. Worship that pleases God does not begin in the lungs. It starts in your heart. So we have to ask the question, which is right? Traditional worship? Or expressive worship? The quiet, reverent worship? Or the loud music type of worship? The answer is both. Or neither. It depends on whether it's real. You see, you can You can kneel in silence or dance in your celebration like we kind of did at VBS this week. Had the praise team up here just dancing. Some of you out there dancing along with it. It was amazing. Both of those styles of worship can echo to God, or both of those can just fall flat on the ground if the heart is disconnected. And here's where the law of echoes comes into scene. Let me tell you about a kid who, in the Swiss Alps, he lived up high in the mountains. He lived up there with his grandpa. Not a lot of people up there, not a lot of noise, but the mountains, they talked back. And the boy would step outside and he would cup his hands and he would yell, "Hello!" And the mountains shouted back, "Hello, hello, hello." And one day he was just feeling full of sugar and sweetness and he yelled, "I love you." And the canyons echoed it right back, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Well, the day came when he got in trouble. Grandpa corrected him old school, kind of like you saw Vern chasing Benny around during VBS this week. Well, the boy stormed out mad and he said, "I hate you." And those echoes, it didn't miss a beat. It echoed back, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And that's when it hit him. The echo only returns what you send out. And life is wired that very same way. What you put out tends to come back. Grace for grace, kindness for kindness. Bitterness and anger, those things echo the same way. It boomerangs back the same way. That's the law of echoes. And worship works the same way. It doesn't just go up to God when we worship. It comes back down. It shapes your soul. It spills over into your family. The law of echoes applies to our worship that we do because worship is more than just songs. Worship isn't a playlist or a Sunday morning ritual. It's not about fog machines. It's not about laser lights or even hymnals that we read out of and praise God with. Worship is the way that you and I live. It's the echo of your heart going out. What your soul sends out when no one's watching. Paul said in the Bible, "Lift up for us men everywhere to lift up holy hands." David said in the book of Psalms, "Shout with joy." But if the heart's not in it, it's just noise. And it's all just for show. If you really want to know how to worship, it's easy. You just surrender. Just surrender. Put your ego aside and just surrender to Him and worship Him for who He is. Raise your hands up in victory or fall to your knees in brokenness or just stand where you are. But just surrender. Surrender yourself. Worship, because worship's not always easy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. What's a sacrifice of praise? That's when you praise and you worship, not because of the situation you're in, but because of God's character. You worship even when life's not good to you. You worship even when you're going through some stuff. But you worship because God is still good. And so it's a choice. We choose to worship not because it's convenient to us, but because God is worthy. And that's just how our loving Father is. And whenever we worship Him, we get blessed by Him. And the echo that we have is our worship. It always comes back to us with interest. Through our life, and how we touch others in our life. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I lost another childhood friend. And we gathered on Friday for his funeral. His name was Randy Taylor. And you know, I can probably count now my remaining childhood friends that I grew up with in the neighborhood on one hand. That's the math of getting older, I guess. I mean, as time goes on, the faces in our photo albums begin to outnumber the ones of those we see every now and then that we grew up with. Randy was part of that sacred fraternity of neighborhood friends that you grew up with. Those early years when friendships aren't built, they're just born. Because there's something different about a childhood friend. And that is, they knew you when your bike still had training wheels on it, but your dreams didn't have anything. And Randy was one of those guys that you didn't have to explain yourself to. Why? Because he already knew the backstory to you. He was part of that backstory. He was the backstory. And those memories, they echo. Like footsteps in an old barn, like laughter bouncing off the canyon wall, riding your bike down a gravel road that rattles your teeth and where it can shake loose your worries of the day, or whether it be wading through thigh-high weeds in a field with a tackle box in one hand and a Zebco rod in the other, to where you're sitting on the edge of a pond where the sun just bakes your back and the mosquitoes show no mercy. But we didn't care. Life was fun. We were kids. Invincible. And just being together was enough. You know, Randy, he never preached a sermon. I don't even think he really attended a church. But don't let that fool you, because his life spoke volumes. He didn't need a pulpit. Just a neighbor who was in need. Whether if your tractor wouldn't start or if you had a runaway horse that you needed to wrangle back in, or you needed help trapping varmints at night that was taking out your chickens, there he'd be. Sleeves rolled up, heart wide open. And so our lives can echo to God just as well through our faith in him. It echoes in what we do to help others. The book of James talks about that, about making your faith real, putting legs to your faith. Now, Randy's grandchildren who were at the funeral, they may not remember the sound of his voice, but they will remember the echoes of it. And you see, that's the same thing about echoes, is they last longer than the original sound. They bounce. And they travel and they linger long after the source is gone. Those echoes, I think, are what heaven hears the loudest. Not our accomplishments, but rather the mercy that we leave behind. And you and I are the same way. We leave echoes, too, with every word we speak, with every act of grace. Every time we show up for someone instead of walking away, we leave an echo, and that echoes with this church through many years of those of you who have served Ground Zero, the youth, in the years and years past, and you spent lots of time ministering, working, helping, and just praying for kids. Those echoes, they linger on. Some echoes come out of our mouths when we worship. Some come out of our lives that we live. And the Lord, He's not just listening to the sound that we sing in church. He's tuning into that mercy that we echo in the world outside of it. Randy's life taught me something, and that's that even when a voice goes silent, the mercy is carried and it keeps on speaking. And so here's the question I have for you this morning. What echoes will we leave behind? When it's our time to be remembered, will the echo be one of bitterness or will it be one of blessing? Criticism or compassion? Silence or mercy. God's mercy to us has just echoed throughout the generations, from Calvary up till today. And it still finds a way into our hearts that are humble enough to listen to us. And my hope is that the mercy of God, the kind that gives us breath to wake up every day, and grace that allows us to watch one more sunrise and one more sunset, that kind of grace would echo through us as well, through time. In the way that we love, and in the way that we forgive, and in the way that we just simply show up to offer praise and worship each and every Sunday to our Father in heaven. So be careful what you throw in the canyon, because it's coming back with interest. Jesus isn't just interested in your performance. He wants your heart. And so whenever you and I worship, let's make it real. Let's make it whole. Let's make that worship echo. Because when worship echoes with the truth, it doesn't just stay in the hills. It reaches heaven and it stirs the very heart of God. Well, the echo is yours to choose. Maybe today you realize your life may have been filled with a lot of noise, but not a lot of signal. Maybe you've lifted hands and closed eyes, but somewhere along the way, the heart really didn't come with it. You've sung some words and it's hit the walls, but it came back empty. But hear this, grace does not echo off the walls. It lands in your heart and in my heart. That's God's grace. Today's not a day about show, it's about surrender. God's not asking for your performance, he's looking for your presence. So if you've been stuck in a loop playing the same tired spiritual tape over and over and over, maybe it's time to change the soundtrack. If you've been running, he's still calling you. If you've been faking it, he still wants the real you. And if you've never known him really in your heart, now's the moment to say, Jesus, here's my heart. He hears even the faintest whisper, and it echoes back with it with love. This morning, the altar is open. It's not just for the broken, but for the brave. You don't have to clean yourself up if you want to come up. You just have to come. Come for encouragement. Come for prayer. Come to testify. As our worship team makes their way up to the stage and our prayer counselors come forward this morning, they'll start playing their music. And all that is simply to make you at ease. A lot of people feel uncomfortable with silence. But they're going to begin to play, and you can come and let this room become a chamber for surrender. Let the first echo be yours with, yes, Lord. And maybe what comes back from heaven is a sound that says in your heart, welcome home. Welcome home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your speaking even when we weren't up to listening. Your echoes, they just pierce through those walls that we put up. And we thank you for loving us even when our echoes seemed cold and hollow. You are worthy, not just of our songs, but you are worthy of our lives. So today, we don't just come here to raise our voices. We surrender our hearts, Lord. If our worship has become routine, wake us up. If our praise has just seemed to grow hollow, fill it again with wonder. Teach us to worship you in spirit and truth. Not with performance, but just with presence. But let our lives echo you with goodness and mercy, and let the sound of surrender just reach up to your throne. May every word that we speak and every act that we do be an echo of love shaped by your grace and powered by the Holy Spirit. And so when this service ends today, may the echo carry over into our week and into our homes and into our work and into every person that we meet. We love you, Jesus. We echo that love now and forever. In your holy name we pray, and all the church said.